Sports Show right here on Bob FM. I'm Brett C. To my right, we have Rama Peru hanging out in the back. We've got Coach Burrows, and we're excited to be with you today because we have a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about Southwestern, Cali, Arc City, Winfield. The NHL playoffs. We're going to talk about the NBA playoffs, NFL, everything. We're going to cover it all today. And don't forget, next week we will be down at Native Lights Casino doing this show from the Buffalo Grill, so get yourself ready for that. But right now on the phone, we have Athletic Director for Arc City High School, Aaron Booker. And he has been here for a while. He's been hanging out, and I know one of his favorite things is Kansas weather. I can't wait to ask him about it when we get him on the phone. How are you?
I'm doing great today. I'm actually sitting here very thankful that we hosted a regional softball event yesterday and not today.
Oh, I know. And, the people here in radio, we always gripe about, especially in the winter with basketball, moving games, to here to there. And it is not a bigger task than it is for you guys there at the high school. And, man, I tell you, every sport throughout the year, I'm sure it's totally a stress for you, but something you're probably used to.
Yeah, it just comes with the territory. I was kind of doing the math here a little bit. We've hosted over 65 athletic events. That's just at the high school. That doesn't include middle school, which we kind of oversee as well, and then that doesn't include any of the activity side of things, which is concerts and all of that stuff. So it's busy all the time. Lots of moving parts.
Yeah. Hey, Aaron, we appreciate you being here today. Can you tell us, you said softball regional you had yesterday. How'd things go there?
Well, we had four teams. It was Hayes and May South was in the first semifinal. May South won that. And then we played Newton in the second semifinal, won 10-0. But then we lost the heartbreaker 7-5 against May South in the regional final. So single elimination baseball and softball is tough. So, things can turn on a dime.
Yeah, and boy, it was a good season for them. I know they had won 11 of their last 12 after a non-league doubleheader sweep last Thursday at El Dorado, so the team had really played well entering that region tournament, darn it. But
they played really well down the stretch and put themselves in a position to host a regional, and this is the first time with the new regional format, where you have 18 teams and the top four host. They made a run at the end, and it's the first time that we've hosted softball since the new format, so a lot of good things.
Good. Hey, Coach Book, what's up, man?
How are you, Coach Dave?
I'm good. I'm glad you're on the show. It's a long overdue process for us, but we're glad you're here. So, are you a fan of the new process, or where do you stand for your as a baseball coach, not as an athletic director?
I'm a fan of it. I mean, it kind of ensures that the best teams get in. In the past, it was all, back when your boys played for me, it was all geographic. So you just got kind of lumped into a pod of about four or eight, and they picked a site. So now it's all based upon what you can do in the regular season. So the top four teams that win the most games percentage-wise, they get to host, and then the bottom two, the 17 and 18, don't get into the playoffs, and then it's just the 1 through 16. You got four pods there. You got four from the West and four from the East that make it to the state tournament.
So it emphasizes the regular season then?
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
That's perfect for baseball because it's a long grind.
Yes, and just a couple years ago, they increased the number of games in the state of Kansas for baseball and softball. It went from 20, which had been from the 70s, to now we get to play 26. Yeah. So it's allowed us to do some creative things with our schedule. We're in a couple festivals baseball-wise. We go to an early one that's at that Mays hosts, and then we go to Lawrence and participate in one, and it's always a good event for both of us.
You and I were raised down south of here where it was really unlimited, so that took a little getting used to when I came up here as well.
Myself as well. The first summer I coached, I played, you and I, we played 100 games.
Sure.
In the spring and the summer combined, and I came here and I had about 45 games on a summer schedule and about killed them the first year I was here.
And that was a day off for you, right?
Exactly.
That was a summer off.
That's right.
Hey, Book, tell us a little bit about the baseball team this year. I know you won double-digit games, really had a really big year from Jordy Pierce on the mound, Daxton Weekly kind of leading batting-wise, but tell us about the baseball season.
I mean, it's up and down. It was, our league's tough. I mean, there aren't any days off. Everybody's got good arms, and, you know, like I said, even the scheduling that we put together, we try and balance it out, but, you know, we just kind of take the approach that we'll play anybody on any day, so it doesn't really matter who it is. But it was an interesting group, just grade-wise. I mean, we played six freshmen, two sophomores, and then six seniors, so that was our 15-person varsity roster. So it was an interesting dynamic. Coach Dave, you know how it is. So playing lots of freshmen at the 5A level, it's like a roller coaster. It's up and down at times.
That's why your hair's a little gray than it was last time I saw you.
That's right. That's right. But, I mean, yeah, you mentioned Daxton Weekly. I mean, I remember the first time I had to have this conversation with him all the time. First time I met him when he was 14, first thing he said was, "Coach, I can catch, but I can't hit." And then he really blossomed. He hit 419 for us this spring. But just really found a niche that he could bunt and he could slash, and those are old school baseball things. And I mean, he probably had 25 bunt base hits this spring, and that's almost unheard of. But that's just a testament to him and working hard and, you know, developing his game and, you know, figuring out a way to be successful. Mm-hmm. And then Jordy he's had two awesome years. I mean, it's not necessarily the wins and losses don't reflect that, but he was 5-2 this year. 0.61 ERA, 84 strikeouts in 51 innings. You know, he's definitely should be a first-team All-State kid.
Now, Jordy, and I don't want to say too much here on the air, but now he's committed already, right, to play football? Is that right, Ben?
Yeah, he's actually football and baseball at Emporia State.
Good. So. That's what I was curious about. I wanted to make sure he was still going to play baseball too, as well. So great.
No, he's a good get for them. So his upside is tremendous. So, and I'll tell you what, all these seniors we have, they're just great human beings. They were fun to be around. You know, they with their schedules, they're always the first ones at practice, and so we hang out for 20-30 minutes every day before everybody else gets there, and it was just a special group.
Yeah, those things can't be measured either.
No.
20-30 minute sessions every day with those guys.
Yep.
Has to be a lifetime worth of memories right there.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah, Coach, also looking at the track side of things, I saw junior Harper Webb broke her own school record in the 100-meter dash at the AVCTL D2 Championship. So congrats to Harper. And so you had some other good things going on, I know, with the golf team as well. And a lot going on this spring there at Huxley High School.
Harper's putting together one heck of a year on the track. So she set the school record in the 100 and 200.
Wow.
She was league champ in the 100 and 200. She was runner-up in the 400 at the league. And right now she has the fastest time in the 100 in the state. She's sub-12, which there's only seven other female athletes in the state of Kansas that have run sub-12. So it's a pretty remarkable spring for her. And then Carson Palmer on the boys' side, he won the league in the discus and the shot. That's back-to-back for him, 25 and 26. And right now he sits number one in 5A in the discus, so we're excited for those guys. So they go compete tomorrow at Topeka West for their regional, and then the state track meet is the following week.
Great.
And Aaron, I know things are about to wind down as far as activity in school-wise, but is there anything going on at the Ark City High School that you want to tell us about before we let you roll?
Well, that's just, I mean, it kind of rolls right into it. We start weights on June 8th, so, June 8th is the first day of weights. And then, you know, everybody kind of gets a one-week camp for basketball and volleyball and all that. So we're in the process of putting all of that together. And then I'm going to take a summer group for the second time. We did it last year, too. We just took our underclassmen and played for the month of June. And I did that for a long time with the summer baseball, but just try to squeeze another month of baseball in for them. So, and then, because your hand's off on the July 4th moratorium, so we'll go up into that date. And then kind of after that, that's when they get pretty serious about football. But now summer weights June 8th, and they'll have individual workouts for football, wrestling, basketball, volleyball. It's a busy time, so.
Yeah. A book I'd be remiss not to ask this. I always found it amazing. Now, you grew up really close friends with Tommy DeSalm, right?
That is correct. Yeah. So, he and I played on the same basketball team when we were about sixth grade. And then, of course, he was the best man at my wedding and that kind of deal. But, yeah, he and I, our families were close. We, you know, we had good athletic experience from growing up at Barnesville High School. And so, yeah, I've known CD and I've been friends for a long time.
Yeah, I was going to say one more. There were three amigos over there, a guy named Spence Rigdon. You know, he was he was part of that I don't want to say tandem. I don't know what you say when you got three people, but
yeah,
when if you got one, you got them all, right?
No, that's true. And the funny story about Spence, so my dad started coaching youth baseball when we were in like 9 or 10, and he drafted Spence, you know, in the league because the year before when he played against us, he pitched left-handed and caught right-handed as a 9-year-old. So that's kind of that's how that relationship started. So he and I, until he passed away, we'd been together since he was, 9 years old. So, yeah, the three of us, pretty tight-knit group.
A great human being on top of it.
Yes, very much so.
All right, well, Aaron, thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate it. And I know you're going to take a little break before things kick off in June, so enjoy that. And we will see you next year when football starts and when basketball, you know, gets to going. You know, we'll have that good partnership going again, and we really appreciate it.
Sounds great. Anytime. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for all you do.
All right. Thank you, man.
Thanks, Aaron.
That was Aaron Booker from Arc City High School, of course, the athletic director. And Rama, there's a couple of things happening. There's a lot happening at Cali, but real quick, some Southwestern stuff also.
Yeah. SC announced the recent hiring of Cody Rapido. He's going to be the new assistant men's basketball coach. And he's known as a rising coach in the profession with a big background in player development and program operations. He most recently spent the last 2 seasons as a graduate assistant at Letourneau University. And, him and Coach O'Brien have this partnership already. Rapido has served alongside Coach O'Brien in multiple overseas competitions, including the Paris World Games, and most recently in Barbados, where the staff helped lead their team to a gold medal finish. So a nice addition to Coach O's program there at Southwestern Men's Basketball. And then in terms of Cali, a lot going on there that just wrapped up. Cali baseball team, Coach and I were there for each game, the region tournament up at Wichita State, and Cali got off to a great start. They were the 5 seed and upset number 4 seed Hutch, if you call it an upset, the first game. Then the big upset was beating Johnson County, the number 1 seed that had won 41 games in a row, and Cali knocked them off and stayed in that winner's side of the bracket, and then lost a really tough 4-3 game to Kansas City, which made them have to eventually face Johnson County again, and the Cavaliers got the Tigers to and then beat Kansas City 2 straight games and fought their way back out to where Johnson County is going to be the representative up in Grand Junction, Colorado, May 23rd through the 30th. And, Coach, your thoughts on, the Cali season and also just Johnson County being the team that's going to go represent out there?
Well, I think if you ask all 7 coaches that were in the tournament besides Johnson County, they'd probably tell you that they were the best team. And you have to tip your hat and give them credit for that. Our season's over with, so it was a little bit disappointing in some areas and other areas. I mean, the pitching was good most of the time, but offensively we struggled, and I wish I knew why. If I did, I would have shared the information with a lot of people, but it's just one of those things. It's why it's called baseball. It can be aggravating.
And, Coach, I always feel nervous to say it, but, if somebody's just better, they're better. I mean, and you never are afraid to say that, the competition, especially Johnson, and even KCK might have been better than Cali in some days, and then Cali was better on other days. But, I mean, when it came to Johnson, they were just better.
They hit over 200 home runs in
yes.
the team. That's broke all records on all levels. So that's not chopped liver there. How you do that, we've had some good teams that didn't hit about 120, maybe the most we ever hit. Now our ballpark's different, and the spring was really friendly to the hitters this year because the wind blew out of the south at a constant pace, at a high rate all year long. But they still did it. Man, they got a guy that's got 41 home runs.
Ryan Bradford, 41 home runs, 110 RBIs in 64 games.
That's unreal.
Just to put it in perspective, Cali's got an unbelievable history here, and I think it's 20 home runs is the most in a season. Yeah. So 41, that just doesn't register.
It's mind-boggling for me. And you know what, Rama? I think they got a chance. They're built for that ballpark. You've been to Grand Junction. You see how the ball flies. And some of those fly ball outs that we were catching against them at the track, they're gone out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, those things are on the 18th green out there behind that golf course.
You're right.
Or in the swimming pool across the, you know, across the parkway or whatever. So, Yeah. You know what I mean? They got some good arms coming back. They're going to have to reload, rebuild, whatever you want to call it. And then next year needs to get here.
Yep. No doubt they'll be right back, you know, competing again for a title.
Absolutely.
So just a couple other things real quick. Playing the 2026 season with only six players on the roster, the minimum amount needed to fill the team, the Cali College men's tennis team maximized their talents and placed fourth at the national championships in Plano, Texas. So congratulations to them. I thought this was something to mention, too. Pratt Community College represented the conference and region very well as they captured the national championship by a half point over Tyler Junior College. Also, the Cali College sophomore Esteban Basso, what a season he had. He was the cross-country individual national champion in the fall, and he capped his career with an individual national title in the men's 3,000-meter steeplechase. And Lady Tiger freshman pole vaulters Kamaria Burnham and Aaliyah Treat garnered All-American honors, and both those Tiger track and field teams placed in the top 20 at the national championships in Hobbs, New Mexico. And the last thing, high school basketball fans should plan to attend the Cali College Tigers and Arc City High School Bulldog men's basketball team camp on Tuesday, June 9th in Arc City. There's going to be a lot of great basketball there. Coach Steve Eck will have his Capen squad there, Heights, Derby, Mays, Putnam City North, Midwest City, Oklahoma, Tulsa Memorial, you name it. There's going to be a lot of good basketball players at that team camp. So that's what's going on at Cali.
Yeah, and you know, Coach Jackson talked about that the last time he was on with us, and it's going to be a cool camp to check out, so make sure you do that. We're going to take a quick break, take a breath, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk college basketball, college football, and get you ready for some NBA and NFL talk later on in the show.
Is life insurance still on your list of New Year's resolutions? Now is the perfect time to add it. A buddy told me that securing life insurance sooner rather than later can help you lock in lower rates for years to come. So I added this to my list this year and got it done. I called SelectQuote and was shocked at how easy and affordable life insurance is. I'm 40 and got a $500,000 policy for $18 a month. My wife's also 40, and her $5,000 policy was only $16 a month. Plus, with SelectQuote's same-day coverage, no medical exam was required, and we were covered by the time we hung up. Checking this off my list felt great, but the peace of mind knowing my family is protected feels even better.
Call SelectQuote at 1-800-280-5858 for your free quote today. That's 1-800-280-5858, or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-280-5858.
Details on example rate at SelectQuote.com.
Hey, it's James.
And Jamie.
From Friendly Ford.
James, have you done your taxes yet?
Absolutely.
Already?
Yep. I opened the envelope, got nervous, and put it back.
That's not doing your taxes.
It felt productive.
Well, for everyone who is getting a refund.
Must be nice.
It might be time for an upgrade.
Oh, using that tax refund as a down payment?
Exactly. Lower your payment, upgrade your ride, and start spring off right.
Because nothing says financial responsibility like finally replacing that car that sounds like a lawnmower.
Yours still does that?
Only uphill and downhill, and sometimes in park.
At Friendly Ford, we've got great deals on new and pre-owned vehicles.
And financing options for all credit situations.
So whether your refund is big,
or you're just hoping the IRS doesn't remember you.
James.
Kinda kidding. Mostly.
Take that tax refund and invest it in something you'll love driving every day.
Turn your refund into an upgrade.
And start the season in a vehicle that actually runs right.
Come see us today.
Or visit us online at ArcCityFord.com.
And we are back on the 620 Sports Show. And guys, before we move on, I want to say congratulations and wish the best wishes to everyone who graduated on the college and high school level from Cali to Southwestern to Arc City, Winfield, Dexter, just everybody around, all the athletes, all the students who graduated. Because, you know, you call their games, you know a lot of them, and Especially at Cali, Coach, you know some of the baseball guys I'm sure are moving on. And
I called their names at graduation, so yes. I got to know all those students, which is really nice.
So, you know, I want to say congratulations to them, and You know, Coach, it's really weird. You're kind of a worldly person. But when I graduated, it was kind of weird. I woke up the next morning. There was a suitcase in front of my door and a locksmith on my parents' front door. You think they were trying to tell me something?
Yeah, I think they were trying to say goodbye.
Or good riddance.
Yeah, really. Finally, you did your job.
That's right. That's the congrats you got.
You graduated at 25, Brett.
Hey, high school was the best 5 years of my life, I'll have you know.
Mine too.
Yeah, and college was the best 9 of mine. So, you know, a lot of people take 9 years to graduate college, but they're usually called doctors, you know.
It took me 11.
And, Coach, I brought this subject to you off there before we started, but, you know, we just got through talking about baseball, and we've been talking JUCO, and now we're about to talk about KU and K-State. I was reading an article about the KU baseball team, and 75% of that team is made up of junior college players. And the perception back when I went to Cali, and there was always jokes made about it, no matter what sport you're playing, was that JUCO was where the people who couldn't make it to a bigger school played. And that was I never believed that, and nobody ever did, but it was always a stupid joke. But now that perception has really changed, because right now, these students are going to JUCO to get classes done and then just to get ready for that next step. But I think, you know, junior college has really, really become not just a stepping stone, but a way of life for sports and for any student.
Absolutely. That was the perception when I was a kid in high school. Like, if you don't go to Division I, you're not very good.
Yes.
Well, they found out, you know what, you can go play more games at a junior college. The scholarship limitation had something to do with that, too. When I was in school, it was like unlimited for baseball scholarships, so everybody got a full ride. Well, it went through a period there where they had 11.7. Well, try to do the math. 11.7 scholarships and 35 guys, you're paying some money to go to school. So a lot of kids went to JUCO with the idea like, hey, and those JUCO guys got appeal to people because they had learned how to grind, and they don't have everything handed to them. We call it the Division I Kool-Aid. You go there, you get all the T-shirts and all the shoes and all the luxuries that you don't get in junior college.
That's right.
And those guys can go in there and they can grind. You know, talking about KU, they got Cade Baldridge, who played here last year. He was second team All Big 12 guy, hits in a two-ho, a factor in that lineup, you know. Mm-hmm. And you just go up and down the lineup. And for me, I'm a JUCO guy, so and I know Fitch really well. When he was at Dallas Baptist, he used to come up all the time. And Tyler Hancock, who played here and coached here as well, is on that staff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a reason to follow. But they're fun to watch play. They play different because they're hungrier. And they won the Big 12 in basketball. When's the last time? 1947, I think, is the last time that they won a conference.
For baseball?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. My goodness. Yeah. And we've got to get Tyler Hancock on here
talk
about, you know, their club there. But I think that's a great story. I'm glad you brought that up, Brett. Because like Coach mentioned, Cade Baldridge, who played here last year, having great success there. Tyler Hancock, former player and coach here, is doing great things there. So,
and the guys that you might maybe need at KU to get you where you want to be, you can't get them. I mean, kids from the southeast part of the country or the Texas or places like that aren't willing to go there because they got A&M, Texas, LSU, all those places in their Arkansas in their backyard. So you have to take another avenue and how you're going to get to where you want to be. They're going to host a regional tournament.
Yeah,
I love it.
And you know, and it's not just KU. They were saying Ole Miss, South Carolina, and UCLA are full of kids from junior colleges on the baseball teams. And so that kind of formula is really catching on as far as, you know, and it's not just baseball. They were talking about in softball and pretty much every sport.
Well, look at all the football players out of this league, and look at all the basketball players.
Yes.
I mean, look at the guys that we've had the last 30 years.
Oh, my gosh,
and with the big schools. I mean, we got a guy at OU playing.
That's right.
And
I just wrote an article yesterday about two more guys that were on Cali's team that last year that are going on to D1 now next season as well. I mean, it's every year. It doesn't matter. And it's great to see, but we are a feeder for those other D1 programs.
It's a great reason to come to all the athletic events at Cali as well, because you go watch that guy play and like, that guy's pretty good. I'm going to see the guy on TV next year. So there's a connection there that you get to watch those guys play and you get a chance to know them too, you know, and that's big too, especially for the student body as well. Because I remember I told a bunch of students one time, come and get involved, because you never know when you might see a Travis Hafner.
Yeah.
And watched him on TV, and Junior Spivey watched him play in the All-Star games. Pretty neat to say, hey, I went to school with that guy.
Definitely.
You know, and you can say the same for, you know, we've talked about Southwestern and Rama. You bought a Butler. You know,
we
have a hotbed around here of a lot of great schools to see talent, and even down in the Oklahoma area we do. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, so there's always a lot to watch. And, Rama, I'll go ahead and let you start talking about, you've got some college basketball news that has to do with the TBT.
Yeah, you know, with the TBT coming up, you know, it's always a fun event. But K-State's going to have a chance, K-State fans, to have Michael Beasley suit up for him and play at Bramlage Coliseum once again this summer. So for the first time since the TBT's creation, Beasley's going to play for the Purple Rain. And so it'll be neat to see him back out there. And also for the Jayhawks, former Jayhawk star Frank Mason will play for the new iteration of the KU alumni team, the JHX Hoops. So neat to see Michael Beasley, Frank Mason. We were talking off air about how Wichita State, they won that last year, and, you know, having the former players come back with Fran Camp and all the guys that the Shocker fans love. It's just, it's a neat thing. It's neat to see those guys back out playing for their schools
again.
It is.
I mean, especially, you know, all the good runs that KU had and that Wichita State had, and to see those guys get back together, and they take it serious, man. They don't play around.
No joke. Hey, there's money on the line.
Yes,
so
there
those
is.
And then one other thing about college basketball, the next huge regular season event is in the works, and if it materializes as planned, it's going to give the sport another massive must-see attraction. So this one is going to be called the Diamond Cup, and it's an 18 pool play event that would debut in the 27-28 men's basketball season. And the eight schools that are in deep discussion about doing this are all very storied programs: Arizona, UConn, Gonzaga, KU, Kentucky, Indiana, Michigan, and North Carolina. So college basketball always looking for these kind of creative ways to throw together, you know, some kind of tournaments and in-season tournaments and pool play things, but this would be another fun one.
And let me tell you, Rama, they picked eight schools that will travel well and always travel well.
You no are matter right. Where That's you... the Blue Bloods, right?
Yes.
It is. College basketball.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? And, Brett, you got that pegged right. I mean, you'll watch KU play in tournaments in Chicago or Hawaii, and it's amazing their amount of fans that are wherever they're at. Those fans are coming to support them. And I know they've got a lot of people that move from after they graduate KU and are out everywhere and have a big fan base. But, boy, they do. They follow those Jayhawks wherever they go. So that'd be fun to see.
Yeah, if that does materialize, that'll be one heck of a tournament to watch.
Mm-hmm. And just real quick on college football, guys, we talked about Brendan Sorsby, the quarterback at Texas Tech that unfortunately had entered a gambling treatment, helped for his gambling addiction, and one of the top players in the transfer portal. He has filed an injunction versus the NCAA, hoping to be able to play this season. So we'll see on that. And then, Coach, real quick, University of Oregon filed a lawsuit against their former defensive back, Dakota Fields, alleging that he owes the school some money due to the transfer portal. He needs to pay them back some of the money that they had paid him in advance. So he owes them about $40,000 in exchange for a release from his contract so that he can play for the Sooners, hopefully, this season.
That shouldn't be a big deal for someone to cover that check at OU.
I would think.
But it's fair, though, right? I mean,
for sure.
Obligations are obligations, and handshakes are handshakes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't fulfill that, then I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I think a lot of this NIL, a lot of this stuff is going to end up in courtrooms. Oh. And it's gonna turn into a super mess like it already has. But, you know, the players are going to want what they want. The schools are going to want their money's worth. And Coach is right. I mean, a handshake is a handshake, and I want to play for you is a I want to play for you. I mean, it's just...
Until the money runs dry and goes somewhere better. So
yes.
Somewhere along the line, something's lost in translation there.
Last thing about college football real quick, guys. Did you see Ed Orgeron's coming back to college football?
No, I did not.
Yes, he did.
He's going to join Lane Kiffin as like a kind of a special recruit assistant. He's going to be able to go out and kind of be the face of at recruiting events and things, you know. And I mean, that's a great guy to have when you're going out just to kind of, you know, he's such a boast. You know, a good guy and everything, but I thought when he took that check and he was out that door, he was done. But
I'm sure there's another check waiting for him in line somewhere.
I think he realized maybe some money still might be needed.
Louisiana's a hotbed for high school football.
Oh yeah,
and then Houston's right there next door, and that's a hotbed for high school and college football. So that tells me that Lane Kiffin's pretty smart. He's going to get the best recruiter in college football on his staff.
I think you're exactly right.
As he would say, that'll put some pepper in the gumbo.
Yep.
And guys, before we leave college sports, I printed this out for us. The softball super regionals, a couple of them start today, but you've got Norman hosting the super regional. Those are Friday, Saturday, Sunday games. That's OU versus Mississippi State. And then we have Oklahoma State. They take on Nebraska. Nebraska's hosting that regional. Those games start tonight, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and that game, first game, will be at 9 p.m. on ESPN2. But, you know, of course, Coach, I know you follow Oklahoma really well and Oklahoma State, but we've got a lot of Big 12 teams in these super regionals. So
yeah, I'm looking at the list here. Seems to be a lot of SEC teams in there.
Yeah, yeah. Shocker.
Yeah, who would have thunk it, right?
It looks like you're just all SEC schools almost.
Let's have an invitational, SEC invitational in Oklahoma City.
Do you have a read on this tournament, Coach? Do you have a favorite out of that? Or
I can't go. Last winter, it's like I can't go against the Jayhawks, what Bill Self has done. How can you go against what Patty's done down at Oklahoma?
You can't.
Yep. You know that Texas regional's going to be supported so well, too. Yeah. Boy, they're in Norman. Yeah.
And I'm sure they got their fingers crossed that Oklahoma State can beat Nebraska, which I don't know if they can or not, but that always helps add to the draw as well.
It does.
And then, of course, you have Texas Tech. They're at the Gainesville Super Regional. Let's see, UCF, they're at the Los Angeles Super Regional, which, you go from playing in Florida to playing in California. I mean, it's pretty much, that's a win-win either way. And then, of course, you have Arizona State taking on Texas in the Austin Super Regional. But we'll keep talking about this, and Alabama LSU.
The one that stands out to me is Arkansas and Duke?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I just don't really hear a Duke softball very often. So
I think you could take the eight losers, have another national tournament somewhere else, and have a really good tournament out of all these teams in the Supers.
Sure could.
And, of course, the Big 12 tournament in men's baseball, that's going on right now. And then, I guess those will be set, next week, Coach, the regionals and all that?
Yeah, they'll finish it up on Sunday, I believe. Yeah. They'll have their selection show on Monday, then the regional tournaments will be. And, back to KU before we move on too. If you watched any of their games on the Plus this year, people are flocking those games.
I love it.
And the atmosphere is crazy there, and the students are really involved in it, and it's a fun atmosphere.
And that's not something that's common with KU baseball.
Not at all.
I've never seen it in the 30-some years I've lived up here in Kansas, and they've had some pretty good teams too, but I think it's awesome, man. It's really good for college baseball, for sure.
And being up at the regional up at Wichita State last week, I had a lot of memories back when the Shocker baseball was rolling, and that place was, 3,000, 4,000 strong every game. And I hope they can get back to that point there at Wichita State
as well.
I
remember watching – I stopped by there one time recruiting, went in there. Wichita State had a regional with Cal State Fullerton. Mm-hmm. Got a chance to meet Augie Garrido there.
How cool.
And there was more than 4,000 people in the stands that day.
Always.
That
I know.
Was packed.
I was just being, the normal average is probably that. But, yeah, you're right. Their weekend games, that place, I loved it. Yeah, I mean, there was nothing like it.
Super full.
Gina Stevenson coaching those teams and the fans, just that was the draw in Wichita, man. Boy.
It sure was. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, come back, talk NBA playoffs. We're going to talk Royals, and we have some WNBA news about Caitlin Clark. We're going to cover all that when we get back right here on the 620 Sports Show.
Your career awaits at Lopez Dorada Foods in Ponca City. We take pride in excellence with a dynamic work environment where you can grow. We are looking for individuals to join our team and share in our success as one of the largest employers in the area. With our competitive wages, 401k with match, health insurance, annual pay increases, tuition reimbursement, and more, we take great care of our employees. View open positions and apply today at LopezDorada.com. Or come to our open interviews at 2000 Howe Boulevard in Ponca City every Tuesday and Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m.
Tu carrera te espera en López Dorada Foods en Ponca City. Estamos orgullosos de la excelencia con un ambiente de trabajo dinámico donde tú puedes crecer. Estamos buscando personas para unirse a nuestro equipo y compartir nuestro éxito como uno de los empleadores más grandes del área. Con nuestros salarios competitivos, 401k con Iguala, seguro médico, aumentos salariales anuales, reembolso de matrícula y más. Cuidamos mucho a nuestros empleados. Vea los puestos disponibles y presente su solicitud hoy en lopezdorada.com o venga a nuestra entrevistas abiertas en 2000 Hall Boulevard en Ponca City todos los martes y miércoles de 2 p.m. a 4 p.m.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Ask yourself this question. Is it really worth holding on to that timeshare that you know you need to get rid of? Here's the truth. The average maintenance fee just went up over 17%. That could have been 117%, and there's nothing you can do about it. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check for annual maintenance and assessment fees. I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. For 15 years, I've helped over 50,000 families cancel their timeshare. Not sell it, not transfer it, cancel it. Did you buy a timeshare because they told you it was a great investment and your maintenance fees would never go up? That's a lie. Are you ready to get rid of your timeshare once and for all? Simply call us and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit that explains all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your timeshare exit kit. 800-885-4884. That's 800-885-4884. 800-885-4884.
Come play Keys for Wheels at Seven Clans First Council Casino and Resort. Earn entries, win cash, free play, and brand new luxury cars. That's right, two lucky winners will drive away in style with the brand new 2026 Jeep Grand Cherokee or a 2026 Genesis G80 Sport. Swipe your Seven Clans Players Club card Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays in May and June to earn your shot at the cars and cash. Grand prize giveaways take place on June 26th and 27th, but the winning is happening right now at the home of Oklahoma's loosest slot. Seven Clans First Council Casino and Resort, Highway 77 in Newkirk.
The 620 Sports Show is sponsored in part by Cowley College. Start your journey at Cowley. With over 600 accredited courses, easy transfer pathways, and job-ready workforce training, we're here to help you reach your career goals. Looking for flexibility in your schedule? Many programs can be completed fully online. Cowley is more than just a college. In Tiger Territory, you'll find the educational and community-focused opportunities for a well-rounded experience. Join us today and unlock your future as a Cowley Tiger. Visit cowley.edu to get started.
And we are back on the 620 Sports Show, and we're going to talk some WNBA, NBA playoffs right now. Let's see, another day, another record for Caitlin Clark, who is now the WNBA's all-time leader in 20-point 10-assist games. She has 21 points and 10 assists on Sunday. She now has the record. Oh, my goodness. And in a short career, Rama.
Yeah, it's hard to believe she's only played 57 career games.
Yes.
And 12 of those, she's had at least 20 points and 10 assists, which is a record already. So when she's out there on the court, she is just a special player. And congrats to her. And then if you guys are following the NBA playoffs, wow, it looks like this Oklahoma City San Antonio series is going to be a fun one. That game won a few nights ago. San Antonio stole one in double overtime, 122 to 115. And in that game, Wembanyama had 41 points and 24 rebounds. But OKC had a big bounce-back win last night, 122 to 113. SGA had 30 points in that one. And so that series is even 1-1. And speaking of SGA, he won his second straight MVP award. And I thought this was cool, guys. He became the first player since Wilt Chamberlain in the 1963 and 64 seasons to score 20 points in every single regular season game he played. And he became the first guard in NBA history to average over 30 points per game while shooting over 55% from the floor. So what we're witnessing is history, guys. And if they get past San Antonio, I think that's the only thing that's standing in their way. I think the Knicks are a really tough team if they get past Cleveland, but I think really the toughest test right here is what they got going on right now with San Antonio.
I agree 100%. And I tell you what, guys, Wembanyama, to me, we were joking here this morning, he looks like AI.
It looks almost silly, fake, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I know.
I mean, super big, so athletic. And, you know, some of those guys, especially in the 80s and 90s, big guys, uncoordinated, some of them.
Right.
He's not.
Brett, there was a play last night where he shot from the right side of the basket, driving, misses. His wingspan is so big that he reached over to the other side, to the left side of the basket, and tipped it back up off the backboard and in. So he missed his own shot, got his own rebound on the other side of the basket without even having to move. I mean, I don't know if I've seen a player with that kind of wingspan. He's 7'3", 7'4", but can dunk standing still. It's, wow. How do you stop that?
And Coach, how would you like to pitch to him?
The K zone would be big. I know that much.
I'd like to have him on the mound.
Yeah. Like he would hand it to you.
Exactly. By the time he's done off the mound, stepping down with that release point.
Yeah, here, hit it out of my hand. I dare you.
No joke. And then in that other series, guys, New York, the Knicks, they trailed Cleveland by 22 points with just over 7 minutes left in regulation, and then went on to outscore the Cavs 44-11 the rest of the way while winning in overtime. And former Shocker Landry Shamet hit the game-tying three-pointer in the final minute of a regulation and came off the bench to go 3-for-3 from three-point range. And so those teams will play again tonight in New York, with Cleveland looking to try to even the series at 1-1.
Were you watching that?
I was.
Weren't you waiting? I kept thinking to myself, okay, New York's going to let them score a few. They're going to wake up, and they're going to seal this off. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, it's getting down to six. It's down to four.
Where was the timeout?
That's what I kept screaming. And I honestly don't have a rooting interest in either one of these teams.
Yeah.
But I'm like, their coach is just standing there with his arms folded. I'm like, you have timeouts.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you've watched a 22-point lead with 7 minutes go down. I mean, I thought once it got down to 10, under 10, that's when you call timeout. Okay, let's regroup, guys. But he let them play all the way out, no timeouts at all. And he was having to answer some questions afterwards about, you know, you had all those timeouts. You know, why didn't you use them?
Don't you think there's some analytical information out there like don't call timeouts?
Yes, and I think
there has to be.
He trusted his guys. He's got a veteran group out there. He had James Harden out there on the floor, Donovan Mitchell, guys that are veterans that he felt like he could trust. And, you know, they know what to do out there. Don't really, but you know what? There's a timeout sometimes just to get the crowd to stop for a minute and get them to have to, because they're so built up into that crescendo. You want to just get them out to start that back up again.
I'm going
to
call timeout until James Harden has calmed down. Like, sure, he's calm already. And then have a heartbeat the way it is.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. But like I said, that was the first thing I thought about when I was like, there must be some analytical information that tells you that it doesn't pay to call timeouts. Like, it doesn't pay to shoot layups anymore or mid-range jump shots anymore either.
That's so, right. That's a thing of the past.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that could, you know, and that could be the case. All right, guys, let's move on to Major League Baseball. The Royals on a very rough stretch, 20-30 right now. They lost last night 4-3. They're off today before they start a series with the Mariners this weekend, which, of course, you can hear all those games on 103.3 and on 1280 AM KSOK. And then Monday they start a series with the Yankees, so it doesn't get any easier.
No.
But they've lost 9 out of their last 10. And, Coach, what are you seeing?
Man, one step forward and two steps backwards. And there's an old saying in baseball, there's two groups of people in this game. Those that have been humbled and those that are about to be. Well, the Royals have had their fair share of being humbled. So,
yes.
You know, offensively, I don't know. I don't know. I still thought it was a hangover from the baseball classic. I thought everybody that was in that didn't start off really well. Mm-hmm. But, man, this has carried over a little bit too long, and it's becoming a norm, actually, because offensively they've been inept the last couple of years.
You're right.
Moved the fences in and hadn't helped.
No.
Is the concern meter moving yet?
It should be.
Okay, that's what I thought.
It should be.
Well, here's the reason, too, Coach. I mean, and you're exactly right, but, you know, when we were talking about them struggling last week, they were still only 3 games out.
Yeah.
Well, now the Guardians have gotten red hot, and now they're 8.5
and
out.
And the Guardians are good, man. They got really good young players that can hit.
Well, in a blink of an eye, the Royals now are 8.5 games behind Cleveland in that AL Central. One good thing of note that came out of last night's 4-3 loss was Salvador Perez hit his 135th career home run at Kauffman Stadium, and he is just one shy of the record held by George Brett. Also in that game, and Coach, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Here's a guy that's going to be very looked at as trade bait from the Red Sox, Aroldis Chapman. He recorded his 12th save and converted his 26th consecutive save chance going back to last year. He has an ERA of 0.51, and he's still throwing 102 miles an hour at 38 years old, 16th season in the majors. That's a guy that someone out there that's a contender is going to be coming after.
He has a lot of trade value for sure. And when you fall out of the race, that's the first guy that you eliminate from your roster so you can get 2 or 3 prospects, because you're always thinking about the future in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think we've worried about the future. And the Royals kind of led us to believe that, hey, this might be our year, too.
I know.
And it's not happening. So, I don't know. I'm kind of dumbfounded with that, too, because the game can drive you crazy for sure. But Man, you got to start addressing some of your issues, if whatever they are.
Yes.
Is this the year? Okay, we've seen Tampa Bay. We mentioned this a couple weeks ago. 100 wins, 98 wins, 90 wins. They're so consistent for the last decade just to keep being a contender. But they never really take that step in the postseason. Once they get to the postseason, they kind of you see that they're not really built like the Dodgers or the Yankees or something. The Rays are 33-15. Is this a team we should believe that could really come out of the American League or
I'll
not?
I'll have to see it before I believe it.
Right.
You know, I mean, the playoffs are different. Everybody's wired different. I mean, that's where the cream comes to the top. And those guys are big leaguers, so they're really good players. I mean, there's not that many guys that play in the big leagues, but I'll have to see it before I believe it, because the Yankees are good too.
Mm-hmm. And you'll never get a skipper to admit it, but I mean, I am thoroughly convinced that teams like the Dodgers, the Padres, you know, even Toronto, they hold the horses back a little bit when the season starts to end and they know they're getting in. And then once the playoffs start, it seems like they release the hounds. And they, I mean, do you think I'm wrong about that?
No, I think you got to rest them a little bit so they can be fresh when the playoffs start. And plus, they're playing them so much money, they don't want to wear them down now, where they want them to be productive in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And the stars come out at night and they shine, especially for the Dodgers. So
yeah, no joke.
They almost act like they're bored right now. They're just waiting for the playoffs to roll around again.
You're right. And another team that I said is very much like Tampa Bay, but on the National League side of things, the Brewers. They just do this every year now too. They just swept the Cubs three straight in Wrigley 2 weeks ago. The Cubs had won 15 straight games at home, and the Brewers go in there, and now the Brewers are 29-18. The Cubs have lost five in a row. The Brewers are leading the division again.
Goes back to what I said about being humbled. Just hang on. It's going to happen to the Brewers as well.
It will.
It's a long season, and it's a grind, and things don't go good every day.
Yeah, and one last thing, guys. Wichita Wind Surge went to their game the other night on Tuesday night, and they're hosting Tulsa in a six-game series through Sunday. But I thought this was cool. You know, our good friend Scott Hennessy, that was the manager there at Tulsa, got the promotion up to the AAA level at OKC. But now current manager at Tulsa is another guy that we know well. Eric Wedge, that was a former manager at the Cleveland Indians back then when it was the Indians, and then he was former great Shocker catcher and a World Series champion, and then was manager of the Shocker. So it was neat to see Eric Wedge is over there managing at Tulsa.
You can go to the stadium at Wichita, at Wichita State, and you're probably going to see a picture of Eric Wedge, him and Greg Brummett celebrating the last out against Texas in, what, 89?
89, for sure. I remember it well.
That guy's going to live forever there.
Mm-hmm. Now, I thought it was pretty neat that he's, you know, the new manager there.
Yeah, with local ties especially. Mm-hmm. makes it pretty neat.
That is really cool. All right, guys, we're going to come back real quick, and we're going to talk some NFL. The NFL announced some future Super Bowl sites and sites for the NFL draft. We'll talk about that when we get back.
The 620 Sports Show is sponsored in part by Cowley College. Start your journey at Cowley. With over 600 accredited courses, easy transfer pathways, and job-ready workforce training, we're here to help you reach your career goals. Looking for flexibility in your schedule? Many programs can be completed fully online. Cowley is more than just a college. In Tiger Territory, you'll find the educational and community-focused opportunities for a well-rounded experience. Join us today and unlock your future as a Cowley Tiger. Visit cowley.edu to get started.
Hey, it's James.
And Jamie.
From Friendly Ford.
James, have you done your taxes yet?
Absolutely.
Already?
Yep. I opened the envelope, got nervous, and put it back.
That's not doing your taxes.
It felt productive.
Well, for everyone who is getting a refund.
Must be nice.
It might be time for an upgrade.
Oh, using that tax refund as a down payment?
Exactly. Lower your payment, upgrade your ride, and start spring off right.
Because nothing says financial responsibility like finally replacing that car that sounds like a lawnmower.
Yours still does that?
Only uphill and downhill, and sometimes in park.
At Friendly Ford, we've got great deals on new and pre-owned vehicles.
And financing options for all credit situations.
So whether your refund is big,
or you're just hoping the IRS doesn't remember you.
James.
Kinda kidding, mostly.
Take that tax refund and invest it in something you'll love driving every day.
Turn your refund into an upgrade.
And start the season in a vehicle that actually runs right.
Come see us today.
Or visit us online at ArcCityFord.com.
Is life insurance still on your list of New Year's resolutions? Now is the perfect time to add it. A buddy told me that securing life insurance sooner rather than later can help you lock in lower rates for years to come. So I added this to my list this year and got it done. I called SelectQuote and was shocked at how easy and affordable life insurance is. I'm 40 and got a $500,000 policy for $18 a month.
My wife's also 40, and her $5,000 policy was only $16 a month. Plus, with SelectQuote's same-day coverage, no medical exam was required, and we were covered by the time we hung up. Checking this off my list felt great, but the peace of mind knowing my family is protected feels even better.
Call SelectQuote at 1-800-280-5858 for your free quote today. That's 1-800-280-5858, or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-280-5858.
Details on example rate at SelectQuote.com.
And we are back on the 620 Sports Show. We're going to talk some NFL right now. And I've got to, in my hand, the NFL announced the next four Super Bowl sites. Of course, we knew next year was Los Angeles. In 2028 will be Atlanta. 2029 will be Las Vegas. And in 2030, the Tennessee Titans will have their new stadium built, so the Super Bowl will be in Nashville. The NFL draft will be in the nation's capital next year, Washington, D.C. And then Minnesota has already been awarded the NFL draft after that. So, you know, I was just showing you guys. You remember when every stadium was round?
Oh, yeah. All looked the same. They're all cookie-cutter stadiums.
I remember when there wasn't a roof on none of them either.
No.
And there wasn't fake grass out there either. So when it rained, you actually saw old-school muddy football.
That's right.
That used to be a highlight when I was a kid.
Yep. There's very few of those left anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Steelers, for whatever reason, they still do have grass field, and I like that. Except for the fact that they share it with the Pitt Panthers, and they'll sometimes play on Saturday, and then the Steelers got to play in that soupy mess on a Sunday. So
that's why I watch.
Exactly. That's old school football.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and then, of course, Aaron Rodgers finally did sign his contract and then announced yesterday he's retiring after this season. It's like, why not now?
Yeah, I know. You're exactly right. Exactly. You know, as a Steelers fan, I have just been waiting for this just to make the announcement. And, you know, I am going to say, though, I am glad Aaron's back, because I do not know what we have in our other quarterbacks. So I think that Aaron can at least be a placeholder for this year while these other quarterbacks can learn under McCarthy and the new offensive coordinator and see if those guys can be a potential quarterback of the future. If not, I don't know what they're going
to
do.
My question is this to you, Rama. What's the over and under that Aaron Rodgers goes, I'm just joking. I got one more year in me after the show. That's a possibility.
It always is.
Because Brett Favre.
I was just going to say, you know who his mentor was, right? Yeah. So yeah. Brett Favre pulled that trick a few times.
Yeah, I'm back, you know.
Oh, I know. It's such a circus show around the Aaron Rodgers situation. But like I say, he's the quarterback in Pittsburgh. I'll be cheering for him. He's got a lot of incentives in that contract that are based off of if you win the division, if you win a playoff game, if you win the next one, you know. So he's got incentives to try to go out and not just, you know, start every game this year, but to try to win. And we do forget, they did win that division last year, guys. So
they did.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I want to make sure we get to this, because since we're a little short on time, but we found out earlier this week that Kansas City Chiefs wideout Rashee Rice will miss OTAs and minicamp after he violated his parole. Rice tested positive for marijuana, forcing him to serve 30 days in jail, which will overlap with team OTAs and minicamp. And, of course, he was sentenced in 2025 for his role in a 2024 crash that he's lucky didn't kill anybody.
I know.
Near Dallas. And you're always our coach deferred, no matter what sport we're talking about. Are we getting to the quit acting like a moron point and you're gone?
I'm sure they've had that conversation, because they pay him really well to make better decisions. So that was over my head there. I mean, for that kind of money, I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, it's a bad message to be sent, though, to the fans of Kansas City and the people that want to buy his jersey. And there's a lot of things that could be cleaned up and be better.
Well, it's not making his teammates look good that we're wearing the free Rashee Rice t-shirts when he was on a 6-game suspension before, when he's going out and doing the same thing and going to jail this time. And if you got a 6-game suspension before and now you're going to jail for 30 days, the league is going to slap him again. So he's going to be suspended. I don't know how many games it'll be, but once again, you're paying this guy that much money and you can't depend on if he's going to be able to be out there for you on Sundays. And it's too bad, because he's a really talented wide receiver, their best receiver that they have on the roster.
He is. And, you know, there was a ton of receivers in free agency. You know, we read that list a couple of weeks ago, and the Chiefs didn't get anybody because they were assuming they had their, you know, their room full and they didn't need anybody. Well, now, you know, who knows?
Well, Tyreek Hill's still out there, Chiefs fans. And I mean, every single team has an opportunity to go get him, which makes you a little leery about why no one has signed him as of yet. But I think it's still very likely he ends up in KC.
Keenan Allen sitting around.
I heard his name mentioned as well. That's right.
And Stephon Diggs still sitting around. I mean, you've got some names out there. And
well, you get some dudes. Keenan's a good guy, but you're talking about Rashay, who's going to jail, and also Tyreek, which we know all about his issues. And we know about the issues of who'd you just say besides Keenan? Oh, and also, you know,
Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs. He lasted 1 year in New England, had a great year with them, led him in receiving. And it tells you what kind of guy he is. They're like, get out of here as soon as the season ended.
And coach, no matter what the sport is, you're no good to us if you're not on the field.
I can't help us win on the sidelines. Can't make the club in the tub. I know that much.
Yeah, right. And he's, you know, and he's just had knee surgery, cleaning up some stuff in his knee.
That's right.
And, you know, of course, I guess he's going to have 30 days to do rehab and hang out. I mean, he's not going to be busy.
No joke.
So the rehab facility in the jail is probably better than the rehab facility at Arrowhead. Is that what you're saying?
I'll tell you what it sounds like to me, and I don't mean to be – I mean, it's jail. It's not fun, but I don't think he's going to have the same jail experience that you or I would have.
No.
He's going to get a little different treatment.
I doubt that he serves 30 days.
I already said that to a couple of buddies of mine. I said it'll be after 10 days, they'll say, we got overcrowding in the jail. This guy's had good – you know, he's good behavior. Let's get him out of here. So. But, hey, and another guy that, like you said – you're only good if you're playing on Sundays. Do you guys remember Deshaun Watson?
I do.
Yeah, that's a name from the past, isn't it? That's a guy who's only played 19 games because of suspensions and injuries in the last 5 years. Unbelievable. But right now, he's quarterback one in Cleveland, they're saying. The new head coach, Todd Monken, you know, with a disappointing 4-year run with Watson, they've got 1 year left on his contract. He's owed $80 million this year. So I think you play the guy, don't you? I mean, you paid him that much money, and he's finally healthy, maybe. And I mean, person wise, you know, he's had so many issues. It's terrible. We don't need to go into all that.
Yeah.
But they've kept him on the roster for a reason. I think now's the time to play him.
I think it tells me, and I don't want to upset anybody that's listening, that they don't trust what they have.
Yeah.
And they got to take somebody in there to maybe get him to the playoffs, because $80 million, it's like we're spending a lot of money not having no return on our investment. That's pretty hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you do start him, though, and you play him the whole year and then they let him go the next year, if they don't bring him back because his contract's over, and say he just played mediocre, I mean, I guess you go back to Shedeur Sanders, and then he doesn't really get that experience, though, that maybe if you just played him through.
And that might be part of the equation, too. Like, hey, Shador's not ready. He really needs some more seasoning on the sidelines. We just can't throw him into the fire because it could do more damage than good. Mm-hmm. So that might be part of the equation, too.
And that makes total sense, you know, what Coach just said. There's a lot of money laying around, and if anybody would know anything about having $80 million laying around, Coach would. I mean,
it's so nice of him to join us today still. On top of that,
yeah,
I appreciate
exactly.
it, Coach.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm sitting here plotting my charities right now as we speak.
Charity Peru would start with the first one, all right?
That was my first thought process.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're gonna wind it up there. Don't forget, we will be broadcasting live next week from the Buffalo Grill down at Native Lights Casino. We're going to go down there, hang out, have some lunch. We'll do this show live, so come on out and join us, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We always have fun down there hanging out with Kevin and the gang down at Native Lights. We appreciate you listening today. Don't forget, you can go to CaliPost.com and listen to this broadcast. Probably tomorrow we'll have it up and ready, but we have been recording these shows and all interviews, so you can hear those at Cali Post. So make sure you do that and check those out. Shane will be here this afternoon with the afternoon drive from 3 to 6. I will be back in the morning bright and early for a Friday edition of the Get Up and Go show. We appreciate you listening, and have a great day, everybody.
This is 95.9 KSOK FM, Winfield, Arkansas City, Wellington, Ponca City, and Augusta. 95.9 KSOK Bob FM.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. The Democratic National Committee releases its report on what went wrong in 2024 when Vice President Kamala Harris lost the election to President Trump.
One of its arguments is that Democrats lost connection with working class Americans, focusing too much on anti-Trump messaging instead of coming up with a strong economic message that would resonate with voters in the South, Midwest, and rural America. It states Democrats need to do more to meet voters where